This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and, of course, is also on the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you, Dylan and Kyle, for having me on board there, coming out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to Brave the Wild, this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board again once again today, kind of dark, dank April morning. In Golden Valley, Minnesota, God knows where else some of you might be. Maybe it's sunny Florida or it's cloudy and thunderstorm Florida, wherever the heck it is. But this series, it's kind of cloudy and thunderstorms and sunny and stuff. It's kind of all over the place. So where do we go? A wonderful complete effort in Game 1 and a wonderfully complete pile of garbage in Game 2.
Here we go. God. Come on!
So yeah, the series is tied 1-1. I don't know, should it have been 2-0? Who knows? But the thing is, the main theme of this is Gustafsson was phenomenal in Game 1, and Fleury was put in Game 2 and was far from phenomenal. The play in front of him was not exactly, you know, ideal. The play in front of Fleury wasn't ideal, but the saves that Gustafsson would make were not made by Marc-Andre Fleury. To me, it's common sense where we go the rest of the series and maybe the rest of the postseason, as most teams would do. I mean, if you have Vasilevskiy, you want to leave him in, right? I think Gustafsson is a goalie that a lot of us are insanely competent in, or confident in any situation for the most part. On the penalty kill, whatever, any type of shorthanded attempt, he'll make those big saves. And he'll just kind of hang in there and continue and be consistent. Fleury, he'll make a big spectacular save, oh my God. And then the next minute, he's sprawling all over the ice. The puck is loose, and guess what? Something went wrong. Boom, the other team scores, be it the Stars, be it the Anaheim Ducks. And that's where the frustration mounts for fans alike. It's time. Fleury is the backup goalie. Fleury is a backup goalie. He's been a backup goalie since he came to the Minnesota Wild, in my opinion. Honest to God. Not that Cam Talbot was the superstar, but he was playing better at the time, and it is on him being Cam Talbot, for playing as poorly as he was last year. It is on him for the fact that the Wild even made the trade in the first place. It's kind of his own freaking fault how poorly he had been playing. Where this year, Gustafsson clearly is the better goalie. He's been the better goalie most of the season. At the beginning of the year, although we were all terrified of what we were looking at, by probably a future Hall of Fame goalie who's kind of at a point now, he's most likely a backup goalie. Like, they just get older and a little slower to react, and they become backup goalies, like the Mike Vernons of the world and such, who are, you know, future Hall of Famers. At the time, he was a future Hall of Famer anyway. And then you have a younger guy who is hopefully the guy. Philip Gustafsson is the guy for this team, at least for the time being, depending on how you feel about Jesper Wallstedt long term. But let Jesper Wallstedt earn it. Don't be like, oh, Jesper Wallstedt is the future. You know, I mean, sign Gustafsson for like a year or two. He's going to leave. Otherwise, it's going to be a 5-year deal or he's gone. I got to think. I mean, not for like a bajillion dollars. He's not going to be a top 5 paid goalie in the NHL, but he's going to get a significant raise, I'm sure. It's going to be complicated, but we'll have to wait and see. All right, enough of the off-season show. goalies. That's kind of what we care about right now. And again, a more complete game by the Minnesota Wild in Game 1, which was the most complete game we've seen in quite a while. And it was like, this team is clearly different than last year. Last year's team was kind of soft and not ready for it. They just weren't ready for the postseason, and they should have been. And Dean Evason didn't make the adjustments needed at the time, where Berube did. In some cases, we're forced to make adjustments because of injury after injury, but then again, welcome to the postseason of the NHL. Funny crap happens. Bad things happen. Like Hartman was playing on one leg, basically, this and that, and he ends up scoring the game-winning goal. Rube Hintz is going to be a hindrance for the Minnesota Wild's chances of advancing, by the way. That guy's incredible. He's got multiple hat tricks on the Wild, but that's, of course, after game number two. Jason Robertson tends to score pretty much every single game the Minnesota Wild play against the Dallas Stars. But a very tightly defended game. Guys were blocking shots. Gustafson was making saves. And guys were aggressive attacking Ottinger, who was also, again, spectacular throughout the night. Brock Faber is an NHL defenseman. Brock Faber is an NHL defenseman, not an AHL defenseman who's going to be in the NHL someday or in a couple months or something, you know, when next season starts. No, Brock Faber is an NHL defenseman already. He did have 3 years in college. It's not like he's 18, so think about it that way in a lot of ways. He's going straight to the NHL next year, and there's no doubt about it because, well, obviously he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's a legitimate defenseman in the NHL. And I got to think there will be offense as his career blossoms in the next couple of years. There will be more offense. He's never going to be a 50-point guy, but he might get to 35, 40. You never know. At least 30. Some people will probably tell you, yeah, right, he's more like a 15 to 20. But whatever he is, he's a great defensive defenseman, super high IQ. And I wouldn't be surprised if someday later on, how many years from now, I have no idea, he will have an alternate captain A on his chest at some point. I think it's a strong possibility. If outstanding captain in college hockey, and he'd definitely be a captain in the AHL level for sure. Should he wind up there for a short time. But I don't think Brock Faber is going to be playing an AHL game anytime soon. I really don't. I mean, you never know if it's like some kind of like, okay, you know, get your footing back or something if he's recovering from something. But let's try to stay away from that kind of talk because I think we've had enough injuries here, as have other teams. Sam Steele with a nice turnover forced, and again, great play by Nyquist. Who has really been a godsend to this team since coming into the lineup from the shoulder injury and recovering and all that. He is one heck of a passer. He has been a wonderful addition. It's safe to say Bill Guerin had an awesome trade deadline. I think most people would agree with that, just about everybody, when you consider how good Marcus Johansson's been. Gustav Nyquist is a fifth-round pick, or was traded for a fifth-round pick. And then you think of, you know, well, you never know who you might get with that fifth-round pick, but if you have a next Kirill Kaprizov type of player around there, like, although he wound up in the fifth round, take him in the fourth then. Take him in the fourth. Get ahead of the curb, so to speak, even if you have to wait a couple extra years for the guy to arrive. God willing, he does. And, yeah, that's the only approach you have. And, of course, fifth-round picks are not all that hard to reacquire at some point in the not-too-distant future, where Gustav Nyquist is a godsend to this team going into the postseason, and it's a thrill to have him, no doubt about it. Kirill Kaprizov would score the opening goal eventually, very late in the first period. Again, a very tightly contested game where shots were put on net, but the goaltenders were phenomenal. It was a pitcher's duel, as people might call it. And then Dallas suddenly had two goals early in the second period. It came very quick. They were about 2 minutes apart. Rube Hintz on the power play, Jason Robertson on the Robertson on the power play, as the Wild's penalty kill took a big dip for a minute there, and then came back to play. Thank God, because like right after that, like Dallas went on another power play, and a lot of us like, our heart was in our throat, like, oh no, 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 now we're dead, we're gonna go down 3-1, but then luckily the Wild's penalty kill was great the rest of the night, and Philip Gustafson wouldn't allow another goal the rest of the evening. What do you think of that? We were the Quinnipiac to the Air Golden Gophers. It's just that simple. And I was kind of feeling that. I'm like, you know what? We're kind of like Quinnipiac right now. I apologize as I take a sip of coffee here. But But, yep, I did a Ryan Hartman. And Ryan Hartman did drink the coffee late in the game, thank God. Sam Steele, and again, off the turnover, Nyquist had the puck and was able to get it to Sam Steele. That guy, again, offensively and defensively, and, of course, his passing ability, right time, right place. Nyquist has been a flat-out godsend for this team. And, again, just a wonderful total team effort defensively. And, again, pressuring Ottinger as much as possible in this first game. And Nyquist being... I keep calling him Nyquist. Philip Gustafson. I'm going to have a... my head's going to explode. It's Nyquist. Sundquist. Gustafson. I could go on all day. It's funny. But, well, thank you for these guys. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for every one of these players. And, again, Sam Steele finishing. And it's a nice feeling for a guy like that who had a strong start to the season. Things quieted down. Started getting scratched because he disappeared off the face of the earth. Important players like Joel Eriksson-Ek, Kirill Kaprizov, guys like that getting hurt and missing time. Nyquist just simply not being available for a long time until it was until the first or the final week of the regular season. Sam Steele had to come in at some point, and he's been a wonderful factor for the Minnesota Wild, at least for the time being. It was a nice first game, at least anyway, and scoring in the postseason, tying the game up. And a really nice play and a good move on Ottinger, who felt like basically like a stone wall at that stage, as the Wild had way more shots on net than the Dallas Stars late through the second period. But Sam Steele able to finish. And then he ended up going into double overtime, which was really tough. It's scary. And again, you know, it's just like any mistake, this and that. But teams weren't really making too many mistakes. There's always a few. But then you have a goaltender on both sides making that huge save that Marc-Andre Fleury simply did not in game number two. So, again, just a wonderful overall fun feeling winning, despite the fact that it was so late that some of us podcasters, show hosts and all that may have accidentally fallen asleep for short stretches and had to rewatch a few extra minutes to catch up to what had happened. We'll just leave it there. It was getting late, and I don't mind late games. It's just this was double overtime, though. Double. Like, it's one thing if the game ends after the third period and you win 3-2 or whatever. Gustafson making another couple of saves or something or some blocked shots. But this went to double overtime midway through it. But then Ryan Hartman, again, able to, as the puck was able to get loose, squeak loose, thank God. That's kind of basically how you score goals in the postseason, is just attack, 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 attack. You know, enough with the fancy, you get cute stuff that you get away with in the regular season. Sam Steele, again, nice play, getting the puck and getting it to Hartman. As Steele would have 2 points in the game, of course. And Hartman, as they say, playing on one leg, would score the game-winning goal and not play in game number two. And inexplicably, Philip Gustafson also would not play in game number two.
What were they thinking?
I'm not bitter about it or anything. No, I'm not bitter. I'm okay. I'm not bitter. I'm very very optimistic. You know, it's Marc-Andre Fleury, okay? He's a future Hall of Famer. We've all heard that about 50 times. He wears those gold pads, you know, like you think of what he was with the Golden Knights, Vegas Golden Knights, getting out of Pittsburgh, you know, and all that through the expansion draft. Because, you know, he was having to back up Andy Murray in a couple of cup playoff runs. So go to Vegas, heck yeah, go to a cup final run with them as the starting goalie, and then unfortunately run into a buzzsaw called the Washington Capitals. But then again, Fleury has had a wonderful career and everything, but pretty much since leaving Vegas and heading to Chicago, it hasn't been the same for Marc-Andre Fleury. He's been about a 3-goal-a-game goaltender, save percentage around 90, you know. That's a backup goalie, folks. That's a backup goalie. And I don't know. Would you want, like, say, an Alex Stalock out there against the Dallas Stars, the mighty Dallas Stars at that top line, down 1-0, when you have Philip Gustafson, who's giving up 2 goals a game, save percentage around 93, probably the second-best goalie in the NHL this season, behind the Allmark of Boston, who's, you know, they're insanely good. Obviously, and he's a big part of that as well. I love Allmark, actually. Not going to lie. I like him with Buffalo. And St. Louis, actually. St. Louis more than Buffalo, sorry. But, yeah, you put in a guy who, you know, tends to struggle at times. Leaves the puck flailing around against this team. Are you serious? So, I don't know. 7-3. That's all I got to say about that. You know, the Wild lost 7-3. It's okay. Flush this one out. We're tied. I mean, who could ask for more? You're tied to the Dallas Stars. No, you don't flush games like this out. You just don't do that. And it felt like that's kind of all we really did. We just flushed it out. And yes, mentally, okay, fine. Flush it out mentally. That's cute and everything. But, I mean, can we be better than this? Can we be better than this? I mean, not only was Fleury below average to borderline yucky, crappy, but so were the Wild in the neutral zone. And in our own zone and all that, but in the neutral zone especially. Like, what are you doing? I mean, it's just a da-da-da-da-da. Oh, sorry. Oh, that sucks. Odd man rushed the other way. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's basically what it felt like on some of them. They might as well have played that song and put it in slow motion as Rupe Hintz attacked the net unassisted for his third goal of the series in two games. Yeah, and ultimately a second hat trick with the final goal of the game to make it 7-3, just to kind of rub it in our face almost, it felt like. They might as well have played that song, though. I mean, the thing, this was 6-3 at the end of the second period. 6-3. And it felt like every goal given up in this game was either like the most like egregious turnover followed by just the save that wasn't there because it just wasn't, because the goaltender wasn't making saves like that. He wasn't making the big save that, oh, there you go. It was just a back of the net type of deal. And they always tend to happen quickly. Like the Wild make it 2-1. Oscar Sundqvist, again, kind of close from, again, Gustav Nyquist, Sundqvist, this quist and that quist. Whichever quist it was. Okay, Oscar, I know. Oscar Sundqvist from Gustav Nyquist was, that was fun. Again, close to the net. And all that kind of like a redirect. You make it 2-1. It's like, okay, maybe we'll be all right. Two goals given up by Fleury relatively early. And maybe it'll be okay. Fleury will settle down. We'll hang in there. And then Dallas opening pretty early in the second period. It was kind of boom, boom. Jamie Benn and Dodonov. That one kind of rolls right off your tongue. Evgeny Dodonov. I like that, actually. And then you're down 4-1. And it's like, oh, come on. And it felt like, again, both goals felt like it was just, I don't know, where was that, or what was that, what happened, come on, you know, can't we be better than this? You're down 4-1 early in the second period, that's just four goals already. Ugh, it's lousy. And then Marcus Johansson was able to score off of Matt Boldy finally getting a point in the postseason. It's about time, but I suppose it's only his second game in the postseason, this year anyway. So his first point to this postseason. Marcus Johansson scores and then his celebration was kind of like, okay, yes, yes, okay, yeah. I'm not going to hug anybody. Just let me slowly skate off the ice because obviously, let's just say sore ribs, bruised ribs are insanely immobilizing and insanely painful. It is a pain threshold type of thing. But let me tell you, you know, you don't want to wish it on anybody. Let me tell you. And then Freddie was able to finish again. Another Nyquist assist. Nyquist assist. It just rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it? Freddie Goudreau again. I don't think did I talk about this on the last episode? The new 5-year contract, or was it right after? I think I talked about it. Yeah, Freddie Goudreau, a new 5-year contract with Minnesota. Not super surprising and not super expensive. So that's the good news. What is it like? About $2 million per? If I remember correctly, I'm going to make 100% sure, but it is a $5 million extension. Got to make 100% sure here. I apologize. Normally I have it all right in front of me, but it just kind of came out of my mouth too, though, talking about that. I didn't necessarily want to get into the contract conversation at the moment. Yeah, 2.1, and then it goes on for a bit, of course, quite a bit. The summer of 28, which... Yeah, by then, I don't know. I don't know how much more hockey he wants to play by then. Because isn't he about... He's got to be pushing 30, right? So, yeah, he's 29. He's 30 in like a couple of minutes here, May the 1st. So, yeah, I mean, he could still play 35, but, you know, we'll see. Nice high IQ guy, obviously smart, plays in his zone. And, heck, what didn't he get 20 goals this year? So you can't complain about a defensive center. Third line type of guy with 20 goals. You can't really complain about a guy like that and who is borderline elite on the power play, if not absolutely elite. On the, did I say power play? In the shootout, anyway. He'll save you in the shootout to prevent you from, you know, getting frustrating losses and such against whoever. Maybe you make a nice comeback against somebody and you want to escape with the win. But, of course, we're not going to be talking about any shootouts in the postseason. Losing in overtime, you don't get a point for that. Your season's over, potentially, depending on where the series is at. And games like this, this series will go very quickly the wrong direction. Fleury should not be in net the rest of the series. I'm sorry. Fleury should not be in net the rest of the series unless you absolutely feel the need for it, like Gustafson just as, you know, whatever it is. I don't think Gustafson's going to get shelled. And I'm knocking on wood saying that. I don't think he is. And if he is, we'll see you next fall. That's about all there is. But at the end of the day, a lot of us pretty much were thinking this when we saw Fleury and net in game number two.
It's just, like, what were they thinking?
Sorry, just calling it as I see it. Isn't that what we're here for? To call it as we see it rather than just go rah, 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 go wild, go wild? I'm not going to do that. Though I want the Wild to win, rah, rah, go wild, sure. But that's not going to be the whole show. I want the Wild to win. I want the Twins to win, who are flashing on the screen at the moment after they lost a game to Boston. Like, I don't know. When one of their columnists is saying it's the worst lineup they've ever had, I don't know. But, and again, the next game, the Twins just smoked them, so good for them. We'll get into the prospects a little bit. This, I believe, is going to be a two-segment show. Yeah, I'm going to keep this a two-segment show. We'll have these game conversations here, which are pretty much concluded now. We're going to look at the prospects a little bit, and then, of course, jump right into fan interaction. And I'll have the DraftKings ad at the start of the next segment. That's probably the best way to do it, to keep things organized and making sense and all that for editing purposes. Because simple editing purposes, just simply, are showing exactly where the ad is, so the ad agencies like know that I actually put the ad in the show. Sorry. But it was, I don't know, it's a mistake. Why didn't that's the funny thing. Imagine if Marc-Andre Fleury, put it this way, last year. Marc-Andre Fleury had a decent game in game one, right? Didn't the Wild beat St. Louis in game one last year, if I'm remembering correctly? Or otherwise it was switched where we won game two. But what if, like, see, the Wild win with Fleury, and then, okay, Cam Talbot's in net. You know, they certainly didn't do that last year, did they? See, we're making changes for the wrong reasons. Do you see what I mean? The only good thing is the fact that the Wild didn't put friggin' Fleury in game one. That's the one good thing. But we gotta get the other guy in now. We've done that all year. That type of thing. Okay, sure. Sure we do. Right. You just got to do that. I mean, you don't do it. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? You don't know what you're talking. Florida beat Boston, huh? Anyhow. I'll look around the bracket as well here. Maybe right now. Now's the time to do that. So, I'm done talking about the Wild at the moment in terms of just, the actual gameplay and everything, games and everything. So this series, Seattle had an impressive road win on the in Colorado in their first ever playoff game. In a lot of ways, kind of sort of similar to the Minnesota Wild 20 years ago. In the very first playoff game against the exact team on the road. Not quite the number one seed at the time. I think Colorado was 3. Yeah, they were 3 because we were number 6. But regardless, a dangerous team that had recently won a Stanley Cup with a lot of established players on the roster. And the Wild win game 1 and ultimately win the series after going down 3-1 not long after that. Of course, Minnesota, Dallas, 1-1. Winnipeg, 5-1 win in Vegas. What the heck? So, all right. So much for the number one seeds in the Western Conference. All right, the two top teams in the Western Conference. See you next year. No, I'm just kidding. 5-1, though? 5-1. So, Bruce Cassidy looked a little bit like, what just happened here? Jeez, that was that good. Edmonton and LA is going to be an interesting slugfest. Lots of talent. Kevin Fiala, did he play in game two? I don't know. Did he? Who knows, right? I think so. No, I don't know. I don't think he did, actually. But I know he didn't play in game one. So one way or another, Fiala's a no-show in the postseason. When he played in the postseason for Minnesota, no points. Or no goals or whatever. And then he's on LA and everything looks promising and he's not playing. All right, Drysdale had 3 points, but Edmonton loses 4-2 to go to get the series tied up here to the Los Angeles Kings. Again, an old school epic battle going back about 30 years ago and beyond, when Gretzky would be playing against the Edmonton Oilers as a member of the Los Angeles Kings after one of the most infamous days in hockey history, seeing Wayne Gretzky traded out of Edmonton, a dynasty that had just won the 1988 Stanley Cup, for their fourth championship in 5 years. I mean, what an epic franchise, what an epic team that was. And they traded away Wayne Gretzky, partially because, we got to get his wife, got to get her acting career going. I don't know, man. I don't know. How many cups did Gretzky win after that? Yeah. I know Messier got at least two more. One with Edmonton, ironically, against Boston, which might be a rematch this year. And, of course, with the New York Rangers in 94. Boston and Florida. Florida won Game 2 after getting pounded pretty good in Game 1. Congratulations to Florida, making things somewhat interesting so far, but I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of success in the postseason. A lot of people think that Boston might choke early, and they might. Toronto just reeks of choking early because they lost Game 1 to Tampa, kind of convincingly, didn't they? At home, yep, Tampa again. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. You know, they've been to the Cup 3 years in a row, two championships in the first two. So on and so forth. Carolina's up 2-1 over a pretty decent New York Islanders team. I'm glad they're back in the postseason, but unfortunately, I don't think they're going to get too far because Carolina's definitely got a ton of depth and just overall talent, well coached. And I don't know. I don't want to get back into that Quinnipiac thing, but it's just amazing how many connections there are with all that, with Hartford and it's kind of funny how that, yeah. Most of you know most of the stories with Hartford moving to Carolina and all that. North Carolina, anyway. And, you know, a pretty cool name and logo with Carolina, but Hartford Whalers is the ultimate, in my opinion. Not to mention Brass Bonanza. New York Rangers go up 1-0 over the New Jersey Nets. It's a New York-New Jersey rivalry, eh? 5-1 win by the New York Rangers. Didn't really expect to see that. It's a good team. It's a very well-run organization, Shesterkin and all them. Patrick Kane got an assist, so on and so forth. Jack Hughes got his first playoff goal, but that was it. That's the only point, the only goal anyway, that the New Jersey Devils would score. Interestingly enough, the New York Islanders goaltender, who a lot of people say is even better than Shesterkin, has what looks like a New York Rangers, the badge, so to speak, the badge or the shield or whatever. Shield is what you call it, on his helmet. It looks like an outline of the New York Rangers shield, so I'm not sure what that's all about. Crosstown rival type of thing, but yeah, that's Sorokin, who's a great goalie, but did give up 4 goals versus a really good Carolina Hurricanes team that I think is, at the beginning of the year, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. In fact, I picked them to win the Cup like 3 or 4 times, so they better get going and win one of these years before their time is up. But an unfortunate injury to Tarevinen, where I believe he's out for at least for the time being with a broken hand. So Tarevinen, obviously super valuable guy. He's like the second, third best player maybe on the team. Not great numbers this year, but yeah, he's been a 60, 70-point guy, 37 this year. So maybe, I don't know, maybe a little time away for a little bit when he'll be able to get stronger and better. I don't know. Maybe he'll be able to be more mentally focused. Who knows? But who am I to talk about a hockey player being mentally focused? Right? Especially somebody who's established as Timo Tarevinen. So now we'll get into the prospects a bit. A lot of the teams are in the postseason. It's kind of cool to look at the brackets and such. I won't babble too much about them if humanly possible. It's probably for the best. David Spachik, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, he has 7 playoff points. Good for him in 8 games. After a relatively slow start to his playoff run, he's on the Sherbrooke Phoenix, who are kind of stomping everybody. And then there's some kind of 3-way deal, which I guess is the championship round. I don't know how that works. I've never seen that before, unless something's wrong here. But it's set up kind of different and kind of confusing. It's, I guess, the semifinals. It's kind of weird. But yeah, I get it now, kind of. I'm not sure why there's 3 teams, though. It's got to be some kind of strange mistake. But so far, the Sherbrooke Phoenix have played 8 games, and they've won all of them. So 2 sweeps, Watch out for the Sherbrooke Phoenix. They may win the whole enchilada. And David Sabatchik has been a big part of it with 7 points in 8 games and, of course, being a good defenseman to go along with that. Other prospects, if humanly possible, I deeply apologize for my screwing around here. Hunter Haight, who's on the Saginaw Spirit in the OHL. They are about to be done, unfortunately. They had they won in the seven-game series versus Flint. The Flint Thunderbirds, I believe. Firebirds, sorry. And now they're getting beat badly by the Sarnia Sting. They're down 3-0, unfortunately, in that series. So that's unfortunate. 3-0, Saginaw Spirit. That's Hunter Haight. I don't know why I didn't click on him. I apologize. Because I know he's doing something. Yeah, 8 points in 10 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. That's not bad. You know, that's not bad for Saginaw Spirit there. But unfortunately, their season is probably just about over. So that kind of stinks. Petrovsky, the Owen Sound attack. Apparently, they won it all in 2017. But because the thing loaded on that, it was weird. I was like, what? But the Owen Sound attack, unfortunately, they're kaput. It is the WHL, right? But yeah, either way, they're kaput. 4 games in. And that's kind of all she wrote when we talk about them. So, and he didn't have the greatest numbers, when I remember correctly. Yeah, he only had 1 assist in 4 games. So that's unfortunate. I clicked on the wrong thing. No wonder. I was like, where's Owen? They got beat 4-1 by the Ottawa 67s, the former club housed by housed Marco Rossi for a bit there in the OHL. So that's the story there. As for a few other players here, Danila Yurov. Yeah, I'm going to go to the KHL really quickly. And Danila Yurov, his team got beat in the conference finals. SKA, they got beat 4-2 by CSKA, unfortunately. And again, 11 games, no points. So 11 total games for Danila Yurov in the postseason. No points. So unfortunately, again, similar situation with... and I'm looking at the wrong guy again. See, that's my... Similar situation. Liam Ugrin, though, way more exciting in the postseason. I think he's, like, what, second in the whole postseason for his league in the playoffs. 11 points, 6 goals, 5 assists, but ultimately out now after 12 games. Really, really good showing, though, for the young guy. And very, very, very bright future ahead of Liam Ugrin, who can... When you consider how good Brock Faber has been and how... Likely he's going to be on the Minnesota Wild for many years and be a really viable defenseman. Maybe even really, really good. Liam Ugrin, too. That's the other part of the Kevin Fiala trade. So it's pretty exciting, actually. It might end up being one of the great trades for Minnesota, depending on how good Fiala really ultimately does. It's not like he was terrible, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it's not like you're, yeah, I mean, it's not, I mean, he's been fantastic for the LA Kings this year. That's why I'm saying it's not like he's been terrible at all. Not many guys can get to 80 points. So, obviously, hopefully, Ugrin can come somewhere near that. But then you add Brock Faber. So, it's a nice dual deal there for Minnesota going forward. Bankier, yep, he's obviously having an unbelievable playoff for the Kamloops Blazers. Unbelievable. 7 games, 12 points. That is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. The WHL playoffs, the Kamloops Blazers, they're up 3-0. So, they're just kind of getting started here. They beat, is that Everett? Yeah, the Everett Silver Tips. Yep, that's where, I forget now, but that's where one of our recent prospects came from just a couple of years ago. I think maybe Damien Giroux. And they're kicking the Portland Winterhawks butt pretty bad. 3-0, Kamloops Blazers. And Bankier has been incredible. Again, like I said, 12 points in 7 games. He has been, Caden Bankier, keep it up, buddy. 5 goals, 7 assists, 12 points in 7 games. Caden Bankier, I'm telling you, I'm really excited. I am. Obviously, again, it's just the juniors, but still, to perform that well, it means something. It means something. You know, like, go out and kick some butt. And he's going out and kicking some butt. Kyle Masters for the Red. Nope, he's on the Kamloops Blazers as well. I keep forgetting that. So he's also in there. Defenseman, 3 assists in 7 games. But again, they're, you know, what are they, 7-1 on the 6-1. 6-1 so far in their postseason. Would they miss a game? That's weird. Yeah, it's seven games. They're 6-1 in terms of victories. 6-1 on the season so far. Yeah, they didn't win the second round yet, but they better. don't lose now if they're up 3-0. That'd be kind of funny and sad at the same time. But 3 assists so far for Kyle Mostas, who has had an awesome season. Kamloops, Winnipeg Ice, 3 assists in 8 games. Obviously, again, his number's not as sexy as some of the others. But Winnipeg is tied with the Moose Jaw Warriors. The Moose Jaw Warriors, they're tied. 3 assists in 8 games. 4, and this is the second round. So, second round for Kamloops and all of them. Ontario Hockey League, they're in the second round, like I talked about. Saginaw's pretty much done, unfortunately. Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, basically, yeah, Sherbrooke. They're, like, kicking everybody's butt. So, that's impressive. They're probably going to win the whole thing. The Gillies Courtois Trophy. I think I'm saying that correctly. The Trophy with a French accent, because it's the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. So, yeah, I mean, some of the prospects having some pretty nice runs in the postseason. Liam Ugrin, very exciting there, considering he's at a higher level there over in Sweden. And then you have Kaden Bankier absolutely dominating in the WHL postseason. Like, wow, like about 2 points a game. And it's exciting to see a guy perform at such a high level. Like, he's had a great regular season, but an even better postseason. And when you see players step up even better in the postseason, makes you feel freaking awesome. So, Kaden Bankier is like the prospect of the week, I think. Prospect of the week, I think, when it comes to the Brave the Wild, anyway, at least at this stage. Why am I forgetting who the player of the week was? Oh, yeah, Sweeney. Sweeney, yep, had some good games as well for Iowa. But unfortunately, they're down 1-0, at least 1-0 in their postseason. So, it's been relatively disappointing with Iowa this season. Even though there's some positive moments here and there, generally speaking, it's been, I'd say, more on the disappointing side of things for Iowa. With that, the award for these two games, anyway, when it comes to the Minnesota Wild, this might seem biased, this might seem kind of mean and petty, but Philip Gustafson's getting the Mike Modano Award, Marc-Andre Fleury's getting the, and it might be a more gentle one because the play in front of him did not help, but he still wasn't good. Marc-Andre Fleury is getting the James Shepard Memorial. But, I mean, it's a combination of poor play in front of him and decision-making and all that and stubbornness, I think, with some of the with the approach going forward here. With that said, we'll take a quick break, come back, and we will get into fan interaction. The second segment and the last segment of this episode. We're down to 2 segments now. Now that we're out of the regular season. Hoping for clicking on the right buttons if humanly possible. And jumping into DraftKings right here and right now. It's NBA playoffs time. That means big action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with the touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Plus, every team can score a no-sweat same-game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook opt-in and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Pretty good, eh? $10, yes. Obviously, the series have been fun for the most part. Timberwolves played way, way better last night. It was kind of like the Wild game was depressing and it sucked, and the Wolves game was kind of fun. Whereas game one, the Wild game was impressive and fun, and the Wolves game was depressing. But unfortunately, it's the Timberwolves, and Denver's just kind of better than us right now, even though they shouldn't be, but they are, and all that. Maybe they shouldn't be as much better. And the Denver Nuggets took care of the Timberwolves with 9-point victory anyway. Timberwolves down 2-0, but I don't know. The Timberwolves are just an eighth seed, and so there's that Phoenix insanely impressive second game after an insanely impressive first game with the Los Angeles Clippers. So that was kind of fun to keep track of. Sacramento, Golden State, Day-Day, as they call him. Draymond Green, I call him. I'm not big on nicknames. I just call the guy's name. Draymond Green, losing his mind again. I don't know. He is the modern-day Dennis Rodman. When he plays well, he is a Hall of Fame talent. With his defense and physical, this and that, and his high IQ. But he can screw you as well by being crazy and losing his temper, kind of like a guy named Dennis Rodman. So he is a modern-day Rodman. Sacramento up 2-1. I say get those Warriors the heck out of here. They're a bunch of jerks. Never been a fan of them. Sacramento, a lot easier to root for until the Timberwolves play them in a playoff round. Then I'll find some flaws, I'm sure. Kind of like Memphis. I can't stand them now. I'm actually cheering for the Lakers versus Memphis, but that series is knotted up because Memphis just came back to play the second game after getting beat impressively by the Lakers in the first game. They got beat. Miami beat Milwaukee in the first game, which was crazy. Some weird storyline there. Not sure what to say about all that, but an entertaining matchup nonetheless. Bucks should be able to take care of business. Knicks and Cleveland could go either way. That's a fun one. 1-1. Probably the most entertaining series over. Well, the most entertaining series might end up being the Clippers and the Suns, but unfortunately, Paul George is out now. So maybe you might want to bet the bet on the Phoenix Suns until the app freezes because it's, you know, getting overwhelmed with data. Data, not data. Everybody calls it data. I call it data still. So I don't know when that changed, but data, okay? Philadelphia 76ers are taking care of Brooklyn. I guess keep betting on them. I guess so, and Boston over Atlanta. I like the Hawks mostly because of their logo and their color scheme and all that. I've been a Hawks fan forever, going back to Dominique Wilkins, but unfortunately it's kind of be like what it used to be when Bird and the boys would beat the Hawks, no matter how talented that Hawks team was. There's no Larry Bird or Dominique Wilkins on either team, but yeah, the Celtics are still my team to win the whole enchilada this year, so I'm going to keep betting on Boston, figuratively and literally, betting on the Boston Celtics to go all the way versus the Phoenix Suns of the West. The Phoenix Suns, to me, are the only team in the West that can win the championship, the only one, and I think they are coming out of the West. If someone else does, I think they're probably going to lose in the finale to Boston or maybe Milwaukee, but I think it's Boston. I really do. So talking about the matchups, it's just a lot of fun. Maybe I went on a little long, but that's kind of the fun of it, though. I'm sure DraftKings appreciates that. any upcoming game and all that, Phoenix Suns winning game 3. I'm strong on the Phoenix Suns winning game number 3. I was actually probably supposed to just mention one upcoming game. So my apologies, Phoenix Suns, but I mentioned a lot of them. So I do think that the Phoenix Suns will win, with the lack of Paul George and also the fact that, again, they just seem primed and ready and kind of on a run, where the Clippers tend to fold when they start to get knocked in the mouth. So we'll see. Download the app now and sign up with code THPN. That's the Hockey Podcast Network. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. So, yes, they prolonged things by looking over the NBA, so I apologize. But it's kind of fun. It's sports playoff season, so let's enjoy it. So that's the fun of it. Apologize if I drugged that out too long. But I'm not sure the fan interaction is as crazy as it is sometimes.
Yep.
I don't think there's any... So I don't know if Tom Hayden came back. That's unfortunate. But, yep, it's an occasional lightning round from Tom Hayden. But when he does, I love him. And he's obviously really a great hockey mind, and he's always welcome on the show. At Brave the Wild is Le Twitter account. At Brave the Wild. I was saying, feeling optimistic, let's talk Minnesota Wild and so on and so forth. And yep, got some responses, and it's time for the Derek Felska lightning round to a return at da. Yes, sir. That's just me cheering for the Tampa Bay Lightning, though, because, you know, they're going to beat the weeds, as they call them, as Tom Hand calls them, the weeds. Yes, and it does look like a marijuana leaf a little bit. It does, more than it should, because it's supposed to be a maple leaf. Weird. Anyhow, yes, the Matt Dumba hit on Joel Pavelski, which I didn't even talk about, but I did that on purpose. You know I did that on purpose, right? Because why talk about it and then say, oh, I already talked about this earlier. That'd be rude. So I'm not going to do that. I did that on purpose. There's a method to my madness. Thoughts on Matt Dumba's hit on Joe Pavelski. Clean, dirty, legal, illegal. Did the review rule to the 5-minute major prove itself in that instance or not? I think it was clean and legal, but, you know, obviously just tough, a tough luck type of thing. Unfortunately, it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. And I don't know, it was maybe a tiny bit late, maybe, but not to a point where the guy should be suspended and all that and fined. It just was kind of a tough luck type of thing. Kind of like, yeah, I mean, what do they call that? Like maybe your head's down or something. Bad timing type of thing. Justin jumps in, says, clean and very unfortunate, an injury occurred. Yep. Derek says, I agree. Just want to see what Joey has to say about it. And at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, that's, Justin summed it up very, very well in just a couple words there. Yeah. It's very unfortunate that an injury happened, and kind of like what happened with the Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights a few years ago, and man, that pissed me off when the Knights blew that game in that big 5-minute major, and the Sharks scored like 3 goals in like a couple seconds, and that was frustrating, because that was a really nice Vegas team that ended up losing in that series. That made me mad. I remember I was outside watching the game in the, you know, on a nice spring evening at the time. I think that was 2019, yeah, because the Vegas went to the final in 18. Man, that was a bummer. That really was a bummer. Fun series to watch. That ended up, everything went down the toilet very quickly after that. It was really disappointing. The Vegas Golden Knights blew a golden opportunity to make a huge playoff run. But yeah, Pavelski, hopefully he's going to be okay. But unfortunately, will not return in this series. But Dallas plays anything like last night, and the Wild play like anything last night. It's not going to, you know, the Dallas Stars will find a way to win this series anyway. And we'll see what happens if Pavelski's able to return for the second round. But hopefully the Minnesota Wild deny that opportunity for the Dallas Stars. Next, Derek Velska at Crease and Assist, at Crease and Assist. And, of course, host of, and I better say this, the Crease and Assist podcast. Crease Assist podcast is what it's called. Hashtag Crease Podcast for comments and questions. This is kind of how I do hashtag BTWMN. It's crucial to do. Hashtag. It just, you know, it keeps things organized and chronological and all that. I love that. Now, I mean, of course, people are going to reply and not necessarily add that. If you can, that would help. It really will. But occasionally I'll be able to see the reply anyway because it's that little bubble. So that's fine. We'll figure things out. But at least you'll have the lead, so to speak, of the comment. Like it creates like a little thread, I guess, with hashtag BTWMN on each comment. Garrick says, the Vegas Golden Knights miraculously had Mark... Yeah, isn't that something? Mark Stone come off the long-term injury... injured reserve, pardon me, to join them in the playoffs? Is this salary cap circumvention, and why do you think the league doesn't make a rule after the fact the way it did with cap recapture? Interesting question, and it is really interesting what they did. It's almost like, as they call it, the hockey gods, that was kind of the hockey gods got back to the Golden Knights with that 5-1 butt kicking by Winnipeg. Now, yeah, it's as they call it, it's a cliche thing, the hockey gods type of thing. So it's almost kind of like, yeah, it's like it's like, obviously, I'm sure it is frowned upon, and I don't know, it's just, whether you call it karma, you sow what you reap or whatever. It's kind of like what's happening now with the Vegas Golden Knights. Who knows if they're going to end up blowing the first round. But, yeah, I mean, the cap recapture, that put the Wild in quite a conundrum. Quite a whatever the word is. I know there's something with a P that I want to say, and it's not coming to my head. I don't know. It made things very difficult on the Minnesota Wild long term here. And, well, that's why Kevin Fiala's gone. Instead of playing with Matt Boldy long term, with Liam Ogren someday. Ogren. Well, not Ogren, because he wouldn't be here, unfortunately. But kind of sad to think about. But I guess Danila Yurov, unless we traded up to get Ogren. Who knows? Eventually, if they ever get here. yeah, it's... It kind of is salary cap circumvention, isn't it? Because, like, oh, yeah, it does feel like they were kind of playing the system. But I guess it's one of those things where, you know, people in life do crooked things, but if it's not illegal, they're going to keep doing it. It's one of those. I don't agree with that kind of lifestyle. I like honest people. You know, if you're going to work the system, so to speak, I don't like you. And I'm sure a lot of the people might not like what the Golden Knights did here either. So we'll see. Maybe there will be a change. I'm not sure why they don't, but again, maybe at some point they will. Maybe at some point they will. Otherwise, the only other reason why they don't is probably greed. Probably greed. So like, hey, you want the best players on the ice in the playoffs, so get them out there. La, la, la. But of course, sometimes it's good to have the best players on the ice in the regular season too. Golden State Warriors, anyhow. like the whole load management crap. But that's different, though. That's a whole different conversation. It's not salary cap like it is in hockey. It's screwy. Next one. Why do you think the NHL is having the Wild Stars games at 8:30 and at 8:50? Yeah, that's the annoying part for a lot of people. You have to F around forever for 22 minutes. 8:52 puck drop. Is it just because of TV or because they think it will be a boring series so they're playing it in a difficult time slot for everyone? TV. I think it's because of TV to kind of try to get every game full watching ability, I suppose. I kind of like it, but I know there's a lot of people that don't. I kind of like it for multiple reasons. Again, so the games are all on and all that. And it's funny how the NBA did that as well. Like, the Wolves game didn't even start till 9. Denver's in mountain time zone, so it should have been like 8. But it kind of is what it is. You're in the West versus the East. It's a West versus East thing, I guess. And I don't know. It's like you want to try to make as many games available as possible to fans where they don't have to compete against other games, I guess. So to me, it's a TV thing, no doubt. It's annoying a little bit for some, I'm sure, but I'm one of the weird guys that's okay with it, especially again the second shift thing and all that. And again, the fact, it's nice to have games spread out a little bit versus, like, you know, most of the games at like 7 or something. So that's kind of how that goes. I understand people's frustration, though. I mean, imagine you have to be at work at like 7 or 6 or 5 or 4 or something. Then you're kind of bleeped. Or people overseas and blah, blah, blah. But, continuing the lightning round. What Minnesota Wild player do you think needs to step up their game 2 games into the series? And which one do you think has been the most pleasant surprise all by 2 games in? Matt Boldy needs to step up. Definitely. That's a big one because he did get his first assist, and he did get some scoring chances yesterday. But I don't know. He did get some scoring chances yesterday, but he didn't finish. It's a results. Sports are about results. And Boldy's not been scoring. So Matt Boldy, to me, it'd be so nice to see him step up. Off the Beaten Path says Matt's and Brock. So like Matt Zuccarello, yeah, he's been awful. He's the skater. If you don't want to pick on Marc-Andre Fleury, Matt Zuccarello with the effing turnovers is one of the effing reasons why the effing goals are in the effing back of the net. Okay, sorry for that. I had to say it, though, because Game 2 sucked. You know, it's that simple. Matt Zuccarello has definitely been the worst skater. Definitely. It's not Matt Dumba, for sure. Dumba's been focused defensively, which is interesting. So some people might think that he's going to... like, oh, maybe we're going to re-sign him after all. But no. Kind of like Kevin Fiala. I'm sure you'd love to re-sign Kevin Fiala. Wouldn't that be great? Even if he does suck in the playoffs. Well, maybe that doesn't mean he's going to suck forever in the playoffs, but we'll see. but it is what it is with the cap crunch. Unless Dumba wants like $1 million a year. But also, again, there's other prospects in the system that I would like to see given a chance at some point where I don't want to, what do they call the word? Commit. Why am I lack of simple words like commit? That word couldn't even come into my head today. I don't want to commit 5 years to Matt Dumba, even if it's super cheap like a Goodrow, you know, 2.5 or something, 2.1. I don't think I want to do that. I suppose he'd be easier to trade, though, at that price, much easier to trade. At that price, because salary cap circumvention. Everybody wants to circumvent the cap, so to speak, one way or another. Not literally cheating, but kind of work around it, so to speak. And $6 million a year ain't going to do that. So, but yeah, nice thoughts there. Thank you, Derek, for that one. That's a good one. As for me, I didn't even mention the biggest surprise. I kind of did. Brock Faber. Yeah, he's definitely been a big surprise. I'm trying to think. Gustav Nyquist, in a sense, has been a very pleasant surprise, in a sense, where obviously he looked really good in the regular season games. And we know he's a legitimate top six NHL player. We all know that. Well, most of us know it anyway. But again, coming back from the shoulder surgery and such, and it's a slow recovery. For him to be as positive as he's been for Minnesota since coming into the lineup, insanely pleasant surprise, I think, along with, again, Brock Faber. Anthony Aiden says, Foligno needs to step it up. Stop taking unnecessary penalties. Faber and Dumba look great. Yeah, and Dumba's been a very pleasant surprise defensively. Certainly not perfect, but definitely been good. Thank you, Anthony. That's a really good one. Anthony at Anthony 8-7. And then off the beaten path is at CC Road King, Minnesota. King of the road, right? Yep, good ones there, guys. Awesome. I believe we'll continue this lightning round. I think there's at least one more. Yep, and then we got Jay Bushy. Derek Pelska again says, 21 Minnesotans were listed in the NHL Central Scouting Final Rankings, many of them from high school ranks. Which Minnesotan do you think will hear his name first in the 2023 NHL Draft? I'll admit I'm not as learned on this topic. You probably are way ahead of me, Derek, I got to think. But I was able to pull up something along the way to kind of work as to kind of give me an idea. And I got to think it's Oliver Moore. I mean, he looks like he's kind of far and away. They have him ranked number 6 overall, at least a while back. That's kind of what I would lean towards is Oliver Moore coming out of Moundsview. Otherwise, Charlie Strammel, Danny Nelson. Cool to see a Luke Mittelstadt in there. But he's ranked like 82nd, so to speak. So I'm leaning towards Oliver Moore out of Moundsview. He's so far the highest ranked, and I know that might come off as like a lazy, kind of being lazy. Well, he's the highest ranked guy, but, well, he is. So, he is. And he's coming to the Gophers. That's a very attractive thing, kind of like Cooley last year. That was really exciting. So, that's a wonderful addition for the Minnesota Gophers going into 23-24. Just thinking about that makes me smile. When you got the top prospect. But, I mean, now guys come to Minnesota again. They're not all going to North Dakota and such. A center, 5'11", 180, shoots left, so on and so forth. Where is he? Yep, University of Minnesota, so on and so forth. He was on the national team, 22-23, played 54 games, 66 points, 27 goals, 39 assists. But, yep, Oliver Moore. Oliver Moore. Again, coming to the Gophers definitely... Yeah, it helps a lot as we're a very respected college hockey program now. Where years ago with Lucia, it didn't feel that way. People were like, oh, God, not him again. You know, it almost seemed like that years ago. I have nothing against Donald Lucia, but it felt like NHL GMs weren't big fans of his, honestly. Jay Bushy says, when do you think we see Eck? Apparently, he's been practicing skating and all that for like 45 minutes and all that. So... that's a good sign. Obviously, again, it's a pain tolerance thing. It's a bruise on the foot or bruise on the ankle, you know, like lower body injury, you know, which is basically, in this case, it's foot or ankle area. And I can imagine the pain is freaking insane, but he plays through a lot. Wouldn't be surprised if he's back by, I'm going to guesstimate game 4. He might even be back for game 3, but I'm guesstimating game 4. Joel Eriksson-Ek will skate. That's my guess, but I do think he will skate in this series. So, like as a quote-unquote betting man with DraftKings and such, Joel Eriksson-Ek will skate in game number 4. What do you think of that, huh? No, I could be totally wrong, but Jay Bushy also, again, yep. He says, very proud of my nephew signing with LSS. Look forward to following him in his college career. National letter. Yep, Lake Superior State. That's okay. That's a good, yeah, cool. That's cool. Yep. So, okay. So this one's, this one's younger. Lake Superior State. Yep. They won the national championship back in the early 90s and late 80s and such with Coach Jackson, who's still around with Notre Dame all these years later. Very defensive-minded coach. But obviously, Lake Superior State's a different story. Awesome program back in the day. And that is a really cool place, you know, a really cool place. Isn't it like Superior? So I believe it's in Superior. I think I had a classmate go there. He was a basketball player. I'm not sure if he played for them. I know he's a really good baseball player, too. But, I mean, obviously, he's my age, so he doesn't play anymore like that, obviously. But, yeah, Lake Superior State. What a nice place in general. Like, and, you know, hey, it'd be nice to see that school back in the NCAA tournament again. So pretty, pretty cool. Congratulations, Evan Bushy, signing his national letter of intent with Lake Superior State. Congratulations. And I said that, and Jay Bushy also said, what did he say? Yep, he said, thank you. And I said, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I was saying, I'm tired of McFlurry. I think we've seen enough of him the rest of the series. Peter A. McGinnis says, agree. Agreed, number one. Yep, so very cool. And then Derek Felska has fun with it, saying, come on. We couldn't have him feeling bad not, after not starting game number one. I kid. what did I quote back with? I was having fun with him. I was saying, ha ha, that's about it when you think about it. I can't believe they put him in right away after game one. And how crazy good, I think I was trying to say, and after how crazy good Gus was. Just demoralizing. Not that the play in front of him was spectacular, him being Marc-Andre Fleury, because it certainly hasn't been. Yeah. Yep. So, it's a bummer. I'm not a happy camper, for sure. And I'm sure Derek isn't either. That was kind of poopy, to say the least. I believe that wraps up the interaction. I believe it does. So, really appreciate all of you for interacting and having fun with the show. Didn't hear from Brian Herrera. Wow, that's rare. Brian Herrera, hope everything's going okay. Maybe just busy or whatever. But hope to hear from you on the next show, or even just a comment in between shows. Like, again, as long as you hashtag BDWMN, it's going to get on the show for sure. So really appreciate hearing from you. Do check out Crease Podcast. I'm sure, depending on how busy he is, maybe schedule getting in the way. But Derek will keep you going with the postseason as well, with either Kalisha or Teresa. Both of them just do an unbelievable job. And, of course, Derek does as well. I love the way they rotate. It's really cool. Like, say, somebody can't make it. You have two other people coming on and doing the show. It's really cool how they do that. That's a cool idea. Otherwise, you get me, Mr. Solo. But I'm the Cal Ripken Jr. of podcasting. I'm here. I find a way most of the time. maybe I'm Lou Gehrig, not quite. Oh, I don't want to say that. Nope, I don't want to think about what happened to him at the, poor guy got sick. So I don't want that. But as for being reliable and all that, yeah, I try to be Cal Ripken Jr. like when it comes to podcasting. I'm just kidding around, of course. Hope all of you again have a wonderful week. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I will do a show Saturday night. Who knows? It's been kind of fun doing that. It'll be similar to this one, probably not as long. Obviously, I won't be looking at the prospects as much. I'm sure it'll just be kind of like game and just game conversation and fan interaction. Kind of like last Saturday night. It's kind of like 45-minute show. This one's slightly longer, but it's significantly shorter than the regular season. And gosh darn it, I'm okay with that. At this point, it's been a long, grueling season. As fun as it's been, it's work too. You know, it everything is work in this world. Even playing games, that's not work. Even though they can get frustrating, that's not work. Sorry, that sounded really stupid. But again, really wonderful to hear from you. Hope to hear from some of you that were missing on this one, on the next show. If not, I understand, but I'm sure we'll interact off and on during the course of time of this series and the off season and whatever the heck happens. Hopefully, after the Wild win a Stanley Cup this year, but otherwise, we'll talk about other things and keep up with the postseason with or without us, I suppose. Otherwise, thank you so much for having me on. Get your DraftKings app and keep up with what you can on there. Until next week, take care, and we shall be here.